Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. The best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy Smart came in, ball runner, comedy store player. Always a pleasure to see him. He was on good form.
Very good form. We had fun with him. That was good.
What else?
You came up with a new competition to replace Don't Ask Me.
Well, it might not replace Don't Ask Me.
I liked it. It was good.
It could be an addition to Don't Ask Me. So
I was a bit slow on the uptake, but you'll hear.
You got the idea. My sporting weekend. Adrian was tuned in to kick off. So that, and we had a chat about various things, didn't we?
Really? Yeah, and I want to thank Peter Huff. We both do. Peter Huff, he sent a lovely letter and a Christmas card.
He did.
He listens to the podcast, I think so. I thought rather than do it on the show, I thought I'd...
He lives in Mauritius, doesn't he?
He loves in Mauritius. He probably does.
He probably does.
He lives and loves in Mauritius.
Brilliant. Yeah, thank you very much, Peter. Have a great Christmas. Anyway, here's today's show.
Interestingly enough, was deemed to be interfering with play on the offside goal that United scored.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Yeah, it was about the only time in the entire match.
It's a shocking stat the Telegraph gave us. We've got Motti in later on. Motti loves a stat, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
The one that did for me. Where's it gone? 20 touches by Romelu Lukaku, his fewest ever when he's played 90 minutes in the Premier League. His 7 passes in the attacking third were the same as Jerdan Shaqiri, who came on after 70 minutes.
God, at least he did make the goal. I mean, his cross was nice.
Yeah. One of the great viral clips, of course, is the Fellaini shot that took out one of the St John's ambulance people.
That is just symbolic of the whole of the situation of United, that one
When you look
moment.
Back on this era, they'll say, what was it like, Dad? What was it like? Well, let me just show you this. Against Liverpool when we got gubbed 3-1. And that's, I mean, look, better times. It's cyclical, isn't it, of course? Manchester United, a huge club with massive resources. And whatever they decide to do with their manager or their players, we do know in 4 or 5 years, they have the money and the wherewithal to compete with anybody in the world.
Their football operation is not good. Gary Neville was brilliant after the
It was a very good chat, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good chat.
They had a kind of an hour with the five of them. It was really interesting stuff.
They need that. And I did like his... They're all over the place when you watch them. They're like spaghetti bolognese. So I was thinking, now I know what you mean about the spaghetti being not in a straight line.
Yeah.
But forget the bolognese, confusing the issue.
The bolognese sauce has...
The sauce, confusing the issue.
You're seeing something you don't want to see. Now, I got into the new Spurs stadium yesterday. Willy Wonka tickets, it was 6,000, 3,000 between 11 a.m. and 1 o'clock, and then other people went in the afternoon. And so I got to have a look around. We could just go into what used to be the Park Lane, the South Stand, and have a look at it there. And it, I've got to be honest, fair play to the chairman and his team. They have done a sensational job. It is amazing. The great thing is as well, walking to it the way I always walk to it, it's such a familiar thing to do that it kind of felt like home straight away. It feels like White Hart Lane after a lottery win. Do you know what I mean? When you've got a few quid, you think, I don't really want to move. We'll have a big extension.
We'll just do it
We'll put
up.
A pool out the back. We'll just do it up because I love living here. I don't really want to live anywhere else.
That's a good point.
And it felt like that. It felt like home. And
I did keep saying this to you. I mean, when people were going on and on and about, oh, it's so humiliating and this, that and the other, I just thought, this is such a short-term pain. This is going to be the most marvellous stadium, you know. It's a great time for Tottenham. That win was really crucial on Saturday because there would have been a time when they wouldn't have won that game. And we were following it, my son and I, not together, but afterwards we just went, oh, God. You know, and that's a good sign for Spurs because to win something, you have to win games like that. When you're not playing well, you nick it at the end. Although, to be fair, they had enough chances.
Yeah.
It's not that they played badly or anything. But that's what teams that win stuff win those sort of games. And that's a good sign for Tottenham. I've got a feeling they'll win something this year.
We'll see. Some other things in the ground, the kind of catering, the food and drink offering is fantastic. It's brilliantly designed as well from what we've seen in the South Stand. And they've resisted the temptation to basically rip the backside out of us price-wise. Because it's obviously modelled on an American stadium. It feels like an American sports stadium. You go and watch baseball or football, whatever in the States. You know what the kind of the inside of those stadiums look like, the concourses look like. And it feels like that. But instead of paying $10 for a Budweiser, which you do in the States, Spurs have kept it sensible. You're paying £4 for a pint of Amstel, or £5 for most other pints, including Beaver Town, or a local brewery, really good beer. And they've got their own brewery on site. The food's reasonably priced. And the stadium will stay open for up to 2 hours after the games have finished.
That's a good idea.
For Saturdays. And it allows, because, you know, look, the infrastructure around the ground has not improved considerably. So when there's 60,000 people coming out of that place, it's not going to be easy to get back on the train. But I was told yesterday they're going to put up on the boards in the stadium how long you've got to wait for your train, what the wait time is in the line to get on the train. So little things like that, people will stick around for those prices.
What's wrong with them treating people properly?
I know. I mean,
don't they realise they're a football club? For goodness sake.
It was a shock to me. I fully expected to think, well, why have they done that? They've overpriced everything. People are still going to go to the pubs, but they've been clever. So, can't congratulate them enough. Really.
Yeah, that's good.
Can't wait to get in there.
I was thinking, the weather was really terrible this weekend, wasn't it? And I was thinking, because our old mate Darren Cannon, a wonderful decision in the West Ham-Fulham game.
Yeah, it was.
He got right.
There was some very good work. Yeah. Charles Massey's call in.
Yeah, that was a good call.
Shane Long, very good spot, wasn't it?
Very good, but very marginal call that he got right. Yeah. And I was thinking, I feel sorry for linesmen in this weather, especially if it's like a one-sided game, because everybody else can run about. But basically, if the play's all up the other end, you're standing on the halfway line, right? And you've got nothing else on. You've only got a shirt and shorts. You know,
they've probably got thermals on, haven't they?
Well, I don't know, but they get wet.
Short sleeve thermals?
Oh, I thought Saturday the conditions were terrible. I don't know, perhaps I shouldn't feel sorry for
now you've got, we want to get, you know, like sometimes you'll see something in the paper, like come along to this old army barracks and be injected with flu. Yeah. We want to kind of do not a kind of a medical research on you today, obviously. Oh, yeah. But we are interested in the possibility of setting up a kind of completely spurious Sunday football league with 20 teams in it that would play throughout the season purely as an experiment.
And I'm calling it the Experimental Premier League.
The Experimental Premier League, but probably played at grassroots level because we'd never get Premier League players to do it. You could use the kind of players that aren't getting a game at certain clubs. But anyway, what was the catalyst for this?
The catalyst was Andy Robertson, Liverpool, was taking a corner. And he did what everybody does now. They not only do they not place it in the quadrant, they don't even place it. You need goal line technology to see how much of the ball was touching the line. It was almost outside of it. And I was thinking, why don't they make the quadrants bigger? And they can just put the ball in, look nicer, and then you've got an option of which angle you want to play it in from. And I was thinking, over the years at TalkSport, we get a lot of ideas, experimental ideas. And it'd be quite interesting if you had a league of 20 teams that played with these experiments each week. And some of them could be abolish offsides.
Yeah.
Mike Parry's idea.
Make the goals bigger.
Helen Chamberlain's idea. Velcro strips that come
so
off.
So you can't pull shirts.
Yeah, so that leaves the holder with a handful of shirt looking guilty. That's a penalty.
And they're literally holding it.
The sin bin. Yeah. Those sort of ideas. And I thought, what about some ideas for the experimental league?
And the great thing is, you could turn up, if you're playing in this experimental league, you could turn up one Sunday having played with normal size goals. But the following week, it's an ongoing experiment. We tinker with it every week. You wouldn't have to start the season and end it because we can do what we like, and you're part of this TalkSport, listeners. We can absolutely do what we like after week 12. If we want to make the goal smaller again because it's not working, we will. So there won't be any kind of competitive balance. You won't be able to complain to anybody. You're part of an experiment.
You won't be able to call for us to be fired way.
So whatever you've got, you'd like to add to our experimental league, which we're very serious, as you can tell. I mean, I think we have got a cast iron record of setting up core subjects with stupid ideas and seeing them through. You've only got to look at the many TV formats you've come up with over the years that are now big hitters on national TV to realise that.
I'm guaranteeing more goals in our league. The only thing that the bigger goalies gloves, you know, like those fan gloves, which I'm allowing, that could mitigate against more goals. But I think that's fair. I've got to give goalies a chance.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yeah, happy Christmas, listeners. Happy Christmas, football fans. Some of you, of course, not all of you. Manchester United fans not feeling particularly festive today, I wouldn't think. Nor, indeed, are the Farnborough fans. Farnborough shipped another 5 goals this weekend, and that might not matter to you, but it certainly matters to our next guest. Andy Smart, ball runner, comedy store player, cheese chaser, and indeed, really, that's, yeah, not euphemism, a Farnborough fan. Hi, Andy.
Hiya. Yeah. What's going on? Did you go to Tottenham on Saturday?
I didn't go to the game, no.
Well, it was, I just, because we played at King's Langley, which is just up by Watford, and it was the coldest I think I've ever been at a football match, because it was a mixture of the rain and the cold. And the wind.
It was vile.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. And we lost 5-1, and that's 2 weeks ago we lost 5-0. So that's 10 goals in 2 away games. And and then our coach, John Reid, said, it was cold and wet. That's all I want to say.
So he tweeted him.
And you had a word with him, did you?
Well, I did, yeah, because I think you'll find, John, that it was it was cold and wet for them as well, but they managed to score 5 goals.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
I was shocked to read this on the 101 Great Goals website today. It says, Southampton revealed Arsenal's biggest weakness in their squad, Tony Cascarino.
Really?
Cass has come out of retirement. That's fantastic. It was a bit harsh.
He wasn't playing centre-half, was he?
I mean, he's got to be nearly 50
now. He
didn't do
a ridiculous backheel that led to their third goal, did he?
I think what they meant was Tony was writing about it on their website.
Honestly.
That's clearly what they meant.
That was funny pointing out that Matt Scott, of course, who's a mad Arsenal fan.
Yeah,
Matt has often come in and tried to sell us Mesut Ozil's world class. He often says he's world class. So yesterday... I don't know what FFS means. It must be an acronym for some governing body.
Yeah, exactly. I've used it a few times at Farnborough. Yeah.
Maybe they're Ozil's initials, because he puts FFS Ozil, lose the ball and then stand there watching a man 2 yards away while he's ponderously making up his mind what to do with it. Yeah. So not world class then, apparently. No. He's changed his tune. That's all a bit of schadenfreude. We all get our turn in the barrel, folks. I had mine at the Emirates 2 weeks ago, and I may get it again on Wednesday. Who knows?
Well, you might. You probably won't. Now, the Daily Star that I take every day has some quite funny bits in it. Yeah. They do love a scare story, be it prior to a tournament, the weather, it's going to kill you, you're going to either be too hot, you're going to be frozen to death. It's all the idea is to scare you witless in some way, or panic you. This is one of their best ones, though. They're talking about Brussels sprouts. There's I collect these, a lot of stuff about
Brussels sprouts.
Well, it's that time of year. Surely.
Stories about Brussels sprouts.
I wouldn't be great if you collected Brussels sprouts.
I could have written a book about Brussels sprouts.
And you could come in and say, look at this.
You could have a Brussels sprout museum.
You could. Is there one?
Probably.
In Brussels.
Imagine this.
Sorry.
Oh, for goodness sake. Pair of you.
Two inferior few senses of humour.
Imagine the smell in there.
Wouldn't be good.
And at the end of the tour, you get to try a Brussels. And they'd say, this one here, that Napoleon, last meal he had. That was one of the sprouts on his table.
Anyway, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Brussels sprouts will be nearer the size of peas this Christmas.
That's not right. What is this, Fantastic Journey or something?
Because of UK heatwave stunted their growth. Honestly, my son made his lunch yesterday. He made some Brussels. They're perfectly normal size.
Not the size of peas.
They weren't, funnily enough.
Wow.
What's the point? I don't get what's the point of writing this? The people suddenly will panic, rush to the shops and start selecting the larger ones especially, thus leaving the smaller ones for people who haven't.
Do you buy yours on one of those kind of Morris Men sticks? Because you can buy them on a Morris Men stick.
I think that's a bit of an affectation, isn't it?
You think so? Buying them on a stick? They taste better on a stick, Andy?
Yeah.
How'd you get them into the saucepan? Well, I don't understand.
You take them off.
You have to take them off.
There used to be.
Yeah, I know you take them off.
There used to be an improv.
Answering the blooming question.
There used to be an improv called Sprout, and they used to give away, for the best suggestion every show, they'd give away one of those sticks of Brussels sprouts.
Really? What about a sprout gun? That would be a good. Is anybody the sort of firebox? Some of these guys, something that fires cooked Brussels sprouts. Or
what, the family?
It's a kind of Christmas game. Yeah.
You say you don't want your sprouts, kids.
Yeah, a bit Tarantino on Nan. Go on, Nan, stay there. So anyway,
this
chip,
also.
I've got more Christmas news.
Oh, yeah,
Andy.
Go on.
Don't hog the Christmas news.
Oh, sorry.
A chippy is serving up battered Christmas pudding.
Oh yes,
and quality street chocolates, deep fried. And not in Scotia, indeed, but in Bursledon, is it? In Hants?
Yeah.
I'm sure most people will never have had a battered Christmas pud before. Apparently, I imagine they
of course, quite fancy quite that.
Tasty.
I've had the Mars bar, and I enjoyed that.
That's right.
Yeah, Christmas pudding. I'd love to try it.
I did like that. I mean, I went up in Edinburgh this week. I've had the Mars bar. I was very taken with it. but the guy said, I think people will enjoy
the new White Hart Lane for me.
They'll be, wonder if they could, the deep fried. It would be kind of just to get a deep fat. I'll tell you what they have got, which has been wowing people on social media. They have a beer, a plastic beer glass that fills from the bottom. They have stands, and you basically, they put the cup over the top of it.
That's a cool idea.
And then the drink fills from the bottom.
You don't get ahead. It's got to be quicker.
Well, it's not so much that. I don't know what it is. It's amazing. It's quick. It makes it very quick.
Quicker,
it makes the whole thing quicker. And you poke it on there. It's a design. But I didn't
you pick it up, it's going to leak.
No. Because as soon as it comes up off the machine, the machine seals it.
Oh, right.
That's the plan. If I'm standing,
sounds like that's going to take a little bit longer.
It worked yesterday, apparently. I think if any of the Spurs, I didn't see it in action, but a number of the Spurs fans.
Cut to all of you at the first game with beer coming out the bottom of your cup.
Standing outside Levy's office with lit torches.
Covered in beer.
The thing that surprised me most is that Alan Brazil has had one fitted already here in the studio. So when you're ready for a pint, guys, let me know, because it took like an hour for him to come. He's had a chippy in all night doing that. Not the one that sells, obviously, a battered quality.
They'll be getting one of those in Russia in about 50 years. During the World Cup, we went to get a beer at half time.
Yeah.
And instead of having them all lined up like they do at Lord's or anything, they're already poured, sort of thing, they did each one individually. And the woman was determined not to have any head, so she was like really,
pouring it carefully.
We're going to have some of Andy's impressions very shortly from the weekend. Yeah. Before that, though, Andy, we might put you to work. Because last week, the TalkSport listeners, a week or two ago, weighed in on Sean Dyche. It's the Holy Grail as far as Andy's. And he is, as you're going to discover very shortly, he thinks he may have cracked it. He's got a new way of working on Sean Dyche. He's
our producer.
He's a bit like John Coleshaw. He's got the essence of it.
Well, thanks to John, really. John, our producer, he sort of identified as something that was missing from it, and he helped me with it. So I think
he helped you a bit with it. So, as we're just about to discover.
Let's hear the real Sean Dyche first.
That's your job, by the way.
So you want to give it to us, Andy?
That's your job, by the way.
You got a bit cockney. You got a bit Bill Sykes there.
Yeah.
That's your job, by the way.
He's a bit.
Can you add a bit more? Can you add a bit more? Can you just give us a hint of Kettering in that, love? We just need a bit of Kettering. Let's hear it once more.
That's your job, by the way.
That's your job, by the way.
That's your job, by the way.
No, you're still. You're still Phil Mitchell. I don't know, you're still Phil Mitchell.
It's more like Russ Brake. 180. Yeah.
So anyway, let's hear Andy's latest. With all armed now with this new technique of it basically being, was it John Major?
John Major.
Gruff John Major.
John Major mixed with Steve McFadden, I'd say.
Okay, John Major, Steve McFadden. Okay. Andy thinks he has now cracked it. I'm not so sure. Have a listen to this.
That's my job, by the way.
I'm warming up.
Warming
up, yeah.
My only sort of gripe, if you like, is we eventually get done by a whack down the pitch, which
My only gripe, if you like, is we only get done by whacking on the pitch, if you like.
If you like.
I don't know what happened there.
That's disappointing, because we dealt with it all afternoon.
Oh. Carry on, Dash.
Very pleased that they resorted to that, because it shows the way what we did.
Kind of make them have to play longer and play into the box more from deep.
To make them go to play longer and make them into the box more.
Oh, yeah.
Positions. I thought that was a good thing. But inevitably, we didn't do that.
It gets quite Australian, doesn't it?
And there's a bit of rhubarb in there. rhubarb and custard.
Yeah, it suddenly does get incredibly Australian. I've got no idea.
Well, there you go.
So, there we are.
I gave it a good go, there.
Do you want to hear a bit of Claude Puel? I thought it sounded like this is one for the don't tell Mimi. It sounded like Bill Kerr. Bill Kerr from the old Tony Hancock radio show. Yeah. All right, Tubbs, you should have just said that.
The big hand.
Yeah. So anyway, Claude Puel gets a bit aloha at some point here. So have a listen to this.
To come back, of course, in the second half, but it's a big disappointment, of course.
I think we deserve to come back in the second half because it's a big disappointment, of course.
Of course, we need the points.
It's definitely
a bit of Clouseau.
Because we need the points. We know it was a tough game to play.
Against Crystal Palace.
Against Crystal Palace.
Hey? Crystal what?
Went a bit Poirot in the middle there as well, actually.
Crystal what?
As soon as I put the moustache on.
It is a berm.
Yeah, it was a bit, wasn't it? It did get that way a bit.
But I did work, we both heard this, that Jonathan Pierce,
our old mate JP,
he was interviewing Roy Hodgson. And he did this thing. He actually did Roy to Roy, and Roy didn't spot it.
Because I don't think he meant to. I just think he inadvertently did a bit of Roy, kicked it off, and then realised what he was doing, and then stopped doing Roy.
Yeah, we've got this for you. You can hear.
Have a listen, courtesy of Match of the Day, of course.
Well, you know, the next question will now be, ooh, Roy, when was the last time Palace won three games on the bounce at home?
Ooh, Roy. Good old JP. And then JP thinks, blimey, I'm doing Roy.
I know.
Better stop doing
Roy. I've had this theory for many years, and it kind of back to that you can... If you meet somebody that speaks like this, if you say to them, hello, how are you? They'll say, fine, thanks, how are you? They won't hear that you're doing them.
Sorry, mate, you're trying to mick. That's always the danger.
I did sort of try
this
it with Roy.
Jeff Thompson behind you.
The first time I ever met Roy, I think
you did Roy to him.
Yeah. And he didn't notice.
I think Roy's got another. He'll find you one day. He'll have you up against the wall, 70 years old or not.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
But did you ever check your lottery ticket for £61 million? Have you ever got round
to it? Yes, I checked. I had two numbers, which means I get a free go, another go.
Okay, but not quite enough for you to slaughter everybody.
And the scratch card was just a fiver, which was nearly. I'm not complaining.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not doing bad.
One thing, when we go through the notes of the weekend with Motti, I don't always do all of them because I thought Motti wouldn't react too well to this one. But I don't know if you saw a very unfortunate close-up of Masuaka of West Ham doing a double nostril nose clearance.
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was a really close-up. Put it this way, he was certainly less congested afterwards.
I'm sure he was. It's always a joy to see it, isn't it?
Oh, really? Yeah, lovely, yeah.
Did you see that the West Ham fans who went off to the Fulham game, suddenly into the pub, one of the away pubs before the match, they were joined by Marlon Harewood and Carlton Cole, who came in.
I thought they were on the terraces as well, weren't they?
Festive jumpers, Santa hats, and had a bit of a sing-song with them. It's a nice little service for the club to offer.
I think it's nice. It's good when players become fans, you know, that they obviously love it.
It's always good to see.
But I thought it was a shame that Newcastle wore their away strip, because I could have quite, when they played Huddersfield, I quite liked to have seen black and white stripes, blue and white stripes. I mean, great for people who like deck chairs. Yeah. Not necessarily so good for the colourblind.
Deck chair fans, as I believe they're called in the tabloids.
Deck chair fans. Yeah.
Old Cliff Clavin's in trouble, isn't he, at Sheffield Wednesday?
Is he?
Yeah, it's not going remarkably. He turned on the press. They asked him about his future after they'd lost to Swansea, and he started effing and jeffing at them. He said, how many times you asked me this question, something hell? And did a flounce. So it looks like Cliff could be back in cheers anytime soon.
He's
they should definitely bring in Mark Crossley to work with him, so they can, when he comes into training, they can all shout, Norm! It'll make it like cheers.
It would be good.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's a very good idea. And there's Jeff Stelling is in an ad, and he sort of plays Father Christmas in this ad. I don't know if you've seen it. They run it during the
football. I have seen it, yeah.
And he's got a white beard, Jeff, but he's still got that sort of unfeasibly dark hair. He must have said to them, I'm not having my hair whitened.
Do you think, does he look good with a white beard? Is it a look he should be going for?
Yes, it's not bad. I think he looks better, you know, without it.
Clean shaven, okay. Yeah, this is a new addition to the occasional series. I bet he's fun to have a pint with. So you're sitting in the pub one day, and Jason Bunn, 58, sidles up to you, having a quick half reading the paper, and he says, "Do you know, I've just taken delivery of my 400th Monopoly set."
For goodness
and you
sake.
Say, "Oh, blimey, have you?" And yeah, let me talk you through them all.
Yeah,
400. We did see one. The Injured Jockeys Fund have set one up, haven't they? They've done a horse racing version of Monopoly that you can buy.
Oh, yeah, now it looks good.
It does look good, does, yeah. There's many different ones out there, but fun to have a pint with.
Now, our old mate Warren Horton, who used to work for TalkSport, of course, now works for The Sun, and used to do our transfer speculation.
Yeah.
And he's often very accurate, but I had to take him to task on Saturday morning.
Why is this?
Because he came up with this story that West Ham will go head-to-head with Bournemouth for Chelsea's Ruben Loftus-Cheek next month. Mm. Both want Chelsea to agree to a loan deal in January with a view to a permanent deal at the end of the season. You think to yourself, well, hang on a minute. Sarri's just said in a press conference this week, he's not going anywhere. We're not selling him. He's one of the best players in this country. So I said to him, I just sent him a text saying, stop making it up.
Oh, okay. Well, you can call it making it up. He may have contacts in higher places. You
know, who knows? He has got very good contacts.
Now, we were mentioning earlier on, we've got this kind of this league, this kind of a guinea pig league where we can try out all the new rules and just introduce different things. You've got IFAB, and they're all insistent on making sure you only make certain changes then at the start of the season. They do experiment, but they don't mess about with it to the extent that we would like to see, like bigger goals and stuff like that.
Completely Velcro experimentally. Shirts. I reckon people would love the football. I think it would be good.
So you could just change things. For example, on a corner, lift your teammate in the air like in rugby to get height advantage.
No, I don't know about
says
that.
Paul in Manchester. So you can have two people just lifting a guy up and then he can head it in. But we could try it, Andy. That's
well,
the whole point.
Try it. Yeah,
we've got an experimental league we're putting together. Bring back the golden goal, says Tom. But take a player off from every team every 5 minutes, starting with a goalkeeper.
Yeah, that's a good one because that's been muted. This is the reason I came up with this experiment.
But no, as he's added to this, no handballs in the area for the home team once the goalkeeper's gone, he says.
Oh, okay.
You with it? Well, so basically it's rush goalie after that point, after you've taken the keeper off.
But I think there is a case. It was mad. Yeah. There is a case for all of this. People over the years have come up with these experiments and they never really, you know, all changes very slowly. This would be a good thing to run. Then you could tell if anything was working really well.
Yeah. Did you see that moment yesterday in the game with Martin Atkinson where the ball hit him? And I think it was Liverpool who went on an attack. And they broke it down. But I think for one terrible moment, he thought he was going to be quite a key component.
Normally, they give a free kick when that happens.
What, if the ball hits them?
Immediately afterwards.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. No, there was.
But sometimes you can't.
It was in their own half. I think it was Liverpool on the attack. They were in their own half. And the ball just hit Atkinson. And it completely took it away from the United player. Liverpool on the break. And he must have been, as he was trying to catch up, must have been thinking, oh, no, don't score. I don't want this to be about me. Because he didn't have a bad game, really, did he? He wasn't that involved.
Oh, no.
He didn't have to be.
He had a good game, yeah.
Yeah.
No question. Where was this? Oh, yeah, this was an interesting letter that a bloke wrote to one of the papers today.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how people see stuff. And Dan's been interested in this. He says, as a Birmingham fan, I'm watching other clubs preparing to sign decent players on big wages to give their promotion hopes a boost. It leaves a bitter taste in the mouth, to be honest. How have the EFL sunk this low? What happened to fair play? The Championship is no longer a fair competition. You think, well, what about when you had your parachute payment, mate? That's not their fault that you blew it completely. That's a brilliant way of looking at it. Oh, it's not fair. Other teams have got more money than we have. Well, you had it. You had more money than everybody else, but you blew it.
You've not said that about Chelsea at any point, have you?
Well, not really, no. But it's harder now for Chelsea.
It certainly is. Hmm. And now, what about basketball type scoring, says Nathan? A goal worth 1, 2, or 3, depending on the shooting location. Hmm. Halfway efforts galore. People just having a ping from everywhere, weren't they?
Yeah.
Not a bad idea, Nathan. Thank you very much for that. So they've got some good ideas in this. None of these. David Ellery wouldn't entertain any of this stuff, unfortunately.
No. But you could in the experimental league. I think it'd be an interesting thing to do. Even a summer league with professional.
Professional. That's right. All you professional footballers, you're not having a holiday.
Got to have a holiday.
Flog yourself all summer in the stupid experimental league where the goals are bigger and people are wearing Velcro shirts.
I don't know if you've
shirts.
Detected our producer, John Callaghan, is a little bit. He's not as good a mood as he's been the past few Mondays.
Did Torquay lose a game?
Well, they did, I'm afraid. Wow. They suffered an FA Trophy setback.
What a disaster. I saw the draw for the second round there and you weren't in it.
Unfortunate.
So... Yeah.
Well, you know, could have been good, but it leaves you to concentrate on the league. That's what you always say.
Very key.
The other day on Friday, I was looking in the Times property section.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's beautiful. You're looking to buy, are you?
Well, no, I was thinking if I'd won the lottery, if I'd won that sort of 74 million, I would have bought this for John. It's in Torquay.
Oh yeah,
it's a beautiful geometric shape, sea facing pool, abundance of glazing, 3-bedroom coastal house. Makes you think of sunnier climes. About £3 million.
How far is it from Plainmoor, is it? Do you know? Have you looked into it?
The sitting room has a freestanding gas fireplace, which allows uninterrupted views of the sea. Isn't
that
right?
About that? It sounds nice. Yeah, yeah. But
I think of you all the time.
You haven't got, yeah, but never do anything about it. Think about anybody on that basis, couldn't you?
Yeah. John's going to buy it for Gary Johnson. He's starting a fund.
That's a nice touch. Yeah, crowdfund that. Yeah, yeah. Anything else, Andy?
What else?
Robbie Fowler wants to be a manager. He was,
yes.
I'll tell you, he could still be a player based on Soccer AM the other day. He can still strike the ball rather well.
Well, he would do, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a massive surprise. He was sticking him away. But, yeah, Robbie Fowler, they've mentioned his name around sort of Bristol Rovers because they're looking for a new man. Interestingly, though, he said, I've thrown in a few applications. He's done his badges. He did them ages ago. And he said, I've put in a few applications over the years, and he's never even had a call. And it's strange, really, you know. An awful lot of ex-players say, you know, we don't get. They tend to go to that same pool of people who've done the job, and they won't take a chance. They've got a really experienced guy, but as a player, certainly.
It's funny that no one's giving him a chance. That does seem a bit strange.
He was briefly player manager in Thailand of a team, 11-12. He said, I'd love to be a manager. People in this country think I'm inexperienced, but I've done it before. I came home, did all my badges, properly qualified. It's just a case of watch this space. So he'd like to have a go. He'd like to give it a crack.
Why not? Now, a bit of news of the plotline in EastEnders. EastEnders' Alfie Moon will be left for dead after a Christmas Day bust-up with a strange wife, Kat. She angrily confronts him after learning he's fathered a love child. And you think, can't they just get on?
Can't they just have a nice quiet Christmas dinner?
Every Christmas Day, it's like sort of, you know, people punching each other and it gets all violent.
Well, it's EastEnders.
I know. But
so you have.
Wouldn't it be nice if they all had just had a nice Christmas?
So you'd have the first half hour of it because they split it in two because something terrible happens at the end of the first part and then it all kind of unravels in the second part of that evening to make you really miserable. So in the first part, they just have their dinner and then the duff duff moment is them saying, well, that was a nice dinner. Anybody fancy dessert? Oh, no, I'll give it 5 minutes. Duff, duff, that's it. And then you come back and they have their pud.
I suppose
it's not very dramatic, is
Tamsin, not really. Tamsin would be terrible. Tamsin Uthwaite has said,
has she?
She said that she doesn't like being a doof doof moment.
She doesn't like the doof
doof
moment.
None of the actors do. Apparently.
Well, no, a lot of the actors count the amount of doof doof. It's like a doof doof league table.
Really?
You should have asked Jake Wood the other way. He often listens. Maybe he can tell us who's winning the doof doof league table.
Oh, okay.
It could go back to
Danny
the old
Dyer,
days.
Alfie Moon would be all right up there.
I think he'd be up there. Kat would be up there, wouldn't
she?
I mean, going back. Den would be in there. Angie would be in there. Well, they'd all be in there, wouldn't they? So let's have the duff. Now, who's going to know? Who's kept count? That is one for the EastEnders completist. Anyway, let's move on. Whoever gets the throw in first gets to take it, says Lee in Tamworth. So if you're there first, you can't wait till somebody turns up. You've got to take it straight
That's
away.
That's a good idea.
That is. That sucks up a lot of time wasting. Well done, Lee.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, Andy, I had an amazing sporting weekend. I want to share it with you and Adrian, who's coming. And Adrian
nice.
May be able to get involved in this as well. We certainly hope so.
No, his role is just to take the mickey out of me.
Well, I'm sure you'll be fine. He can join in. So, let me tell you about it, Andy. All you've got to do is complete my sentences, because I'll get lost for words at the end of these. It was such an amazing sporting weekend.
Okay.
So, let's kick it off. I started off, I went to see the Fledermaus at the English, the ENO, I'll call it.
English National Opera.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And who shall I run into while I'm there but the Southend skipper, Sam Mantum, of all people. So he told me he'd been to see Carmen the week before, Madame Butterfly the week before that. And I said, look, no, in a football dressing room, Sam, I bet you've been getting some stick from the lads. And he said, oh, yes, they've started calling me. What's his name, Andy? And he's gone to see.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him.
Okay, they've started calling me Adrian.
Mantum of the Opera.
Mantum of the Opera. Yes. Absolutely right. Just won the Opera, Adrian.
Yeah,
get the idea.
I was going to go with
Listen carefully.
I was going to go with Sir Frederick Ashton.
close.
Basically, it's a think of the birthday spreads. Okay, tune in, Andy. Right, concentrate. Well, actually, I was driving to the opera, Andy. I had a terrible time. Really scary moment. The Olympic gold medalist Jason Kenny whizzed past me on his bike. And he clipped the wing mirror of the van in front of me and he came off. Yeah. And of course, I stopped. The two fellas in the van stopped. And thankfully, Jason was all right and he went on unscathed. But I've got to be honest, Andy, at one horrible moment, I thought,
oh my God, I've killed Kenny.
Well, similar, they've killed Kenny, but that's close. Yeah. We got that one right. Well, actually, Andy, the opera finished quite late, so I stayed in a hotel that was recommended to me by the Chelsea chairman, Bruce Buck. He loves the place and stays there all the time. In fact, he's there so often, they've actually put a blue plaque outside that says...
Oh, yes, I got it.
Yeah, what is it?
The buck stops here.
Buck stops here, absolutely right, yeah. Actually, Andy, it's a very weird hotel. All of the foyer in this hotel is full of action shots of the Rochdale keeper, Josh Lillis. Yeah. So I said to the guy at the reception, why are there so many pictures?
Of Lillis.
Of Lillis, that's right. And he said, well, the manager's a big fan. So I pop in the bar, and we've got time for this. And who should be there but the Millwall manager, Neil Harris. We had a pint and a chat. And then I'd noticed standing at the other end of the bar was the former Newcastle midfielder, Vernon Anita.
Yeah.
I thought it was him. But just to confirm, I said to Neil,
Is that Anita Harris?
That's right.
Is that Anita Harris?
That's it. Well done. Neil confirmed it was. That's me, Neil, Vern, Anita, all having a nice pint together. Then who should be in the other corner but the Birmingham City gaffer, Gary Monk.
Yeah.
So he appeared to be drinking a French herbal liqueur flavoured with 27 flowers, berries, herbs, roots and spices. So I said to him...
Is that a Benedictine monk?
Exactly. Well done. Right. So he joins me, right? Neil, Vernon, Gary, all having a good drink, like an impromptu Christmas party. And then who should we spot at the other end of the bar? That old mate, Jean Valery of Southampton, their defender. And he looked a bit down the dumps because his mates had let him down. So I caught his eye, burst into song and said... There we are, you get the idea with that. So once you tuned in, Andy, it got better, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, once you got there.
You're not going to want to do that every week. That's so much
work. That must have taken forever.
It took me about half an hour, surprisingly.
Of course, it's a lot longer than Don't Ask Me.
Well, okay. You've got to put the work in sometimes,
Well, I'll
Andy.
See. My wife won't like that at all. She much prefers
You being ridiculed.
Well, I was slightly ridiculed there, but
that's
likes
the yardstick.
She likes the complete humiliation.
Okay, we'll bring it back next week.
I liked it, though. It's very good.
It's Adrian Goffey up next with Drive.
It sounds like hard work. And the question I'd ask, is it worth it?
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon. We are back tomorrow from 1. We'll be built. Don't forget, Christmas Eve, we have a number of the listeners come into the show. You'll hear that as a bit of a podcast, I'm sure, on the day. But anyway, that's next week. Lots more to come this week. And thanks for downloading us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.